All right, we are on the record for some after talk.
Oh man,
which is on the record.
Spoiler alert to anybody who is our boss. We're going to talk about Doctor Strange, the second best multiverse action drama of the year.
Do we want to start about talk about that right now or in the back half of after talk?
What other business do we need to accomplish before we get to that?
I wanted to mention something in our Discord, discord.greatnight.tv, where we have all of the Diamond Club stuff. We're trying out some new stuff for how to have discussions about like shows that we're talking about in spoiler in time or might be spoilery. So check out our Spoilerino channel. We're going to use Threads. So you just click into the one that you want and you just join the conversation that you want.
You'll accidentally see other stuff.
Fingers crossed. Threads are not perfect, but hopefully you can just opt into whatever you want. So
the idea is that we talk about the spoilers there. Is that right?
For the listeners in the Discord, if they want to talk about Moon Knight, we'll have them. You know, we would have a Moon Knight thread or an...
Like if they're going to be all like, oh man, that season finale was so great. I bet Bryce suddenly likes the show. And then they could go in the thread and find out that somebody named Bryce will say, no, I did not.
That is fine ending. But so if you're not in our Discord, check it out, discord.greatnight.tv. It's free for everybody to join. If you're, you are a patron because you're listening to this. So if you connect your Patreon and Discord accounts, you'll get a special color in our Discord. You'll get access to our special channel for secret behind-the-scenes stuff, all sorts of good stuff. So are we going to Doctor Strange it up then?
Yeah. Could we talk a little bit more about Everything Everywhere All at Once first?
Okay. Yeah. So we're doing spoilers for Everything Everywhere.
Are we
Everywhere
being spoilery or not?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. In the show notes, I'm going to have a time code for Everything All at Once when it starts. And when Doctor Strange 2 starts, okay?
It's spoiler and multiverse.
Tom. I'm happy that you had an experience that allowed you to kind of like one show and then another. But I went the reverse way, and I loved the first one when I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once. And I have to imagine that when you've stared into the sun, it's very difficult to see the moon clearly.
I don't think so for me. I think I would have probably had the same opinion of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I don't tend to look at things and go, well, because I enjoyed this, now this by comparison suffers.
Well, no, but also like,
but I'm trying not to say this in a way it's like, oh, I'm better than you. I just mean like I liked things about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness that were independent of the multiverse storyline, right? And I tend to try to look at things in isolation that way. I work hard to look at things in isolation that way, I should say.
Before we talk about Doctor Strange, do you have any hot takes on Everything Everywhere? What surprises
This has got to be the next The Room, Rocky Horror. Like, people have to come with hot dogs on their fingers to midnight showings, right? Like, it's got too many great, weird, crazy moments like that. And it's a rock freaking solid multiverse story.
And it's also a rock solid relationship story. It's a rock solid
Mother's Day story.
It's Justin finally saw it, and he was saying earlier today, he's like, there are so many threads, and every single one has a complete and fascinating arc.
I convinced Molly Wood to see it because I'm like, it's a story about a mother and her daughter, and she's like, well, I should see that instead of Doctor Strange. I'm like, yes, you should.
It's a very like inspired movie. Like, I watched Everything Everywhere All at Once a few weeks ago, and even watching Better Call Saul, I'm not going to spoil it, but you watch these and you're like, oh, these people are inspired. Like, they are, this is not just the 80th script that they wrote for The Mouse. This is not just procedural that they're farting out. Like, sure. I mean, I'm painting with a very big brush here, but these are very inspired works that I feel like whoever is involved with them have not just an idea, but the image and the pacing and the rhythm.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Like, they have the concept in their head from beginning to end. Yeah. The other part that I loved about it is that they made it very true to Chinese immigrant culture. And I'm trying, you know, not, I'm trying to thread the needle of even talking about this sort of stuff these days, but they did it without leaving you out, without feeling like they were trying to make that the point. They were authentic to it, but they were like, but that's beside the point. The point is a multiverse story and the relationship between the mother and daughter. It just happens to be told about people who are Chinese immigrants. Mm-hmm. And that is an important part of their story, and we're not going to overlook it either. We're not going to pretend it does. It's not important, but it was a great balance of not overemphasizing or underemphasizing the people in the story, so that you actually did get exposed to a culture you may not be familiar with if you're not a Chinese immigrant, but without feeling like you were being preached to, because it was 100%. A great story.
And that's everything from the writing, the pacing, the editing. It's like, yeah, we get it. You're from a place that isn't here. You have a failing laundromat. Your dad's a little bit racist or whateverist or whatever the thing is. Like the feelings are universal. And by not shining a spotlight or moralizing or any of that stuff.
They were universal, but there were also things specific to that culture.
Right.
That maybe that they lost got right. on you, but they weren't, you know, it wasn't like trying to make you feel bad for not getting them. It was like, you know, when she calls her daughter fat, I know from Eileen that that's very much in Asian culture a thing that happens a lot, and it's, you know, can be annoying to the younger generation. Yeah. It could also play as just like, oh, that's an insensitive mother. That's just one small example though.
Mm-hmm. There's also stuff that plays for different ages of the viewing audience, because it was cool seeing Lo Pan show up as the grouchy grandpa, Big Trouble in Little China, which is, Bryce, a movie you've not seen.
No, but I've seen him in a bunch of other things.
Right. To me, I was suddenly teleported back to being a kid, where he was this literally larger than life figure, this 9 foot tall immortal being who, strangely enough, played a very old man in a wheelchair in that same movie.
Do you know where Waymond is from? What's his name?
I did not find out until afterwards that he was Short Round.
And Data.
Wait.
And Goonies.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
As well
and,
as additional
and
crew.
The daughter is in Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Ah, she was great. I thought she was fantastic as both, like, you know, the innocent kind of civilian and the
godlike multidimensional traveler. Yeah, that confidence.
Oh, she's a rising star. Keep an eye on her, because I think she's going to do even more.
And as a antagonist, I guess, not even necessarily a villain, like that all feels even better once, I don't remember exactly where in the movie, but it's not we have to kill her, it's we've got to figure out how to like live in the same space time,
deal with her, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's not that she's bad, it's that she's bored,
she's lonely,
she's literally experienced everything that there is. Yeah. Like, what's left?
And her mother, like, is living, because she, I don't know how this would work into all the space-time stuff, but like, her mother's older, so so many of her possibilities are without her daughter. So many of them are because she doesn't have a daughter. I mean,
that's interesting. In the Rock reality, certainly that's a world where neither of them existed, but they could both go and experience and exist.
Yeah, they kind of blur the lines a little bit once they both kind of break out of the limiter,
this is a story that doesn't always have to take itself too seriously. It's constantly reminding you that you're having fun, and that, you know what, we could have a world where there's just rocks, okay? And don't look for plot inaccuracies, you know, don't look for things that break the world. This isn't about the world, this is about the relationship.
This is a part where obligatory hand in the air, I did not recognize Jamie Lee Curtis until the credits.
I didn't either.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? I knew it was her, and I knew she was in this movie, and it took me several minutes possibly an hour before I was like, oh wait, that's her. There.
Wow. There's also a couple of moments, some obvious, some less so. But I watching it twice in a row, little things like, you know, when at the IRS office, she circles things around, she does it very thickly, like the bagel. But more importantly,
everything bagel. I put everything on the bagel.
You know, it's a shame. Like, they're using that line as like promotion for the movie, like the TikTok ads and stuff. They're doing her song, the bagel. And it's like, that's such a good punchline. I can't believe you would give that up. But there, it
is. It still worked, though.
I mean, look, like, if you had to pick between the bagel and Raccoonity.
Oh, Raccoonity? Yeah, no, Raccoonity is a better surprise. Yeah.
Also, Michelle Yeoh is
Michelle
one of
those
alternate realities, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's the Michelle Yeoh that in the United States we all know from Crouching Tiger, but has done millions of Wuxia movies. So the Bamboo Forest could have been Crouching Tiger, could have been one of the others.
Well, we know
Michelle Yeoh didn't learn Kung Fu the way it's shown in Everything Everywhere All at Once, but I don't know, maybe she did. Maybe
also, like one thing that is definitely the movie we know she was in was when they do the step and repeat, and in the background you see the big logo that says Crazy Rich Asians in the background. One thing I didn't notice on the first viewing.
Also, Chad was in Crazy Rich Asians too.
On the second viewing, I did notice that I can't remember the exact phrasing, but Jamie Lee Curtis is saying, according to these receipts tell a story, and according to this, you are a singer of artist blank, and they're all things from the other realities. And I was like, all right, that was well played.
But they are also her. Yeah. No, it was really good. All right. So we're going to talk about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness a little bit. So consider this the portal between the two now, if you don't want to be spoiled on Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. Start the clock. How many overlapping similarities between the two movies can you name? I gave away Man in the Chair, of course, because you got Professor X and you got the grandpa.
Right.
There were more of them in my head. I should have written them all down.
Multiple realities.
You have a young woman who can command the multiverse.
Yeah.
You have America Chavez and the daughter. You have a family issues story at the heart of it, right? You have Scarlet Witch upset about, you know, losing her children.
Yeah.
You know, it's loosely a family issue. It's not the same family issue, but it's loosely there. A third eye. It's the googly eye.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I preferred Everything Everywhere's Eye.
Yeah, me too. There were more as I was watching it. I kept going like, oh, there's one. Oh, that's the same. Oh, that's kind of funny. That's similar too.
I'll tell you one thing. Advantage goes to Everything Everywhere because they had more than three universes in their multiverse of madness.
Yes.
They only had three?
There's one Rick and Morty-esque like five universes in 10 seconds, including wacky things like a paint universe, a sunset universe, a glass universe. Wow. They land in one universe that is very strange because red lights mean go and green lights mean stop. And if you That's step on a tile, it activates a memory, playback, activation, exposition, right. Okay,
so go. You're just telling the story of the movie. We spend very few times in alternate realities in Doctor Strange, I think is Brian's point. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Bryce, do you not disagree?
I haven't seen this, so I'm asking questions just to learn about the film.
Yeah, I forgot you guys.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not doing a victory lap. I'm literally disclosing to Bryce like, the problems with the movie.
You move to one alternate universe, and you spend most of the time there. Then you go to kind of a destroyed universe.
A pocket universe.
Yeah. Mm. That's it. There's like Brian was saying, there's flashes through others where you could be like, oh, lots of different universes, but you don't spend any time in them.
Does it, I'm assuming this won't be a spoiler for Loki, but does it tie into any of the Loki stuff?
No. That'd be great if it did.
The whole, what?
That'd be great if it did.
Jiminy Bimini.
Hey man, how about this? How about we encounter the Illuminati?
What are we doing this for with thought and tied to Loki?
Here's the Illuminati. Dr. Strange, you're on trial, bro. Here are five characters. Captain Marvel, but not the one you know. a dude with a tuning fork on his head that if you read the comics, you'd know his voice is real powerful. Don't worry, just kidding. We're going to tell you, you don't want this guy to talk at you because he's got a powerful voice that'll melt you. Don't believe me? Talk at this. Sorry. Ah, my voice melted you. Anyway, whatever you do, Scarlet Witch, don't seal his mouth shut so that he has to burp and then blow himself up. Anyway, and Professor X and the world's smartest man, Reed Richards of the Fantastic Four. What's that? You've been waiting your whole effing life to see Reed Richards, Brian Brushwood? Don't worry. He's going to die of stupid reasons in exactly 30 seconds.
Wow.
You seem to have axes to grind on that scene. I thought that scene was super fun. Tuning fork guy, I didn't care whether I knew him for the comics or not. I was like, oh, here's a hero we don't know. Good. Oh, an alternate Captain Marvel. Also good because it's an alternate universe. Hey, we got Reed Richards. That's a sign the Fantastic Four is coming back. I've seen two other Reed Richards before. Let me see this one. And Professor X with Patrick Stewart. Wow. He seems way more stable in this scene than he did in Picard.
I actually did notice that. I think they just had more time and budget to get the right take for everything.
Liked the Illuminati scene. I liked the Illuminati section. I just felt like it was everything thrown away at once. Like, here's all your surprises. Blah.
Hey, Bryce, real quick. Captain Marvel. Powerful or not powerful?
I'm told she's like the most powerful alien in the world.
Okay.
The
ways for her to die. Anything else or a rock fell on her?
Probably anything other than that.
That's not.
Is it a big rock?
No, it's not.
These are not even the least. These are not even the most important problems with the movie.
So did they fix the multiverse or is it still screwed up at the end?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with that. That's
it's not
problem.
Even about.
Yes.
What?
All right. I am now officially flipping the switch into sympathetic Brian. This is now sympathetic Brian. This movie was supposed to come out first.
Exactly. That is the only defense.
Sure.
Sony.
It was like supposed to come out right after WandaVision, which was over a year ago.
You're not supposed to see Loki or Spider-Man.
Or maybe even WandaVision. Possibly.
You are supposed to see WandaVision.
Okay. If you were supposed to see WandaVision, it was not supposed to be as good as it ended up being. Because here's what you saw is WandaVision comes out and explores extraordinary depth to the character of Wanda Maximoff, which makes it very difficult when they collapse her to a one-dimensional villain. All the way down to having her introductory scene be in an apple orchard where she reveals that, oh, you didn't mention her name and I said her name. Big sweeping reveal that she's evil Wanda. Also, just in case you're curious, they make sure to frame the lower one third of the screen with Disney licensed footage. Whenever they show the kids, they happen to be watching Snow White with the evil witch with the apple scene in there, just in case you were missing all that. So all of a sudden, so that's problematic. They had a very interesting character who they tried to make very, very silly and dumb. Then second of all, the timing, imagine this comes out first and then Spider-Man comes out. It's probably pretty good. Imagine you just watched Spider-Man crush all of the hearts and destroy everything and you see all three Spider-Men and all of that stuff. How do you feel anything close to that in this other, we're introducing the idea of a multiverse. You mean the same one you introduced in Loki?
Right. No, not that one.
And Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man. Okay,
I think if WandaVision leads right into Doctor Strange, Scarlet Witch feels deeper than it did. Because I don't see an inconsistency here. What Wanda did in WandaVision was evil. And it was the first step of her giving in to the temptation to use evil to fix. And it makes perfect sense that when that is blown away, she stews, has gotten the Darkhold in WandaVision, and therefore steps up her game and is like, I will get those kids back. I will do it again, but this time I won't be thwarted. This time I'll go bigger. This time I'll go for an entire multiverse, not a town. That all made sense to me.
I 100%.
It just felt so disconnected from the rest of it that I agree with you that Scarlet Witch felt like, ha ha ha, guess what? The last time you saw Wanda Maximoff, she was cool, and now she's evil. I don't know why, but I'm totally evil. And would I ever consider a multiverse where my children, where I had died and my children were abandoned? No, I just want to cause evil. Cause evil.
If, as long as we're speculating on other timelines, if there's a timeline where WandaVision, where you could, everybody going into Doctor Strange could be relied upon to have seen WandaVision, then your opening scenes with Wanda are of like a traumatized vet, right? Where she's says she's over it, but she's not over it. Because,
and also she wouldn't have had to reveal her secret there. It would have been smarter to not reveal it and go with him and be inside the castle, right?
Right. But,
and everything
but,
could play out the same from there.
But I'm
100% with you there.
You don't have time to do that. Also, the majority of everybody seeing this movie did not watch WandaVision. So you need to, in about 2 minutes, say, I'm mad because I had a dream of having kids once and I don't have them. It plays exactly like you would expect
from
that.
I feel like you could have resolved that better, but you know what? Feeling is different than doing.
Okay, but in all seriousness, bold move to say 5 minutes, introduce five of the coolest characters that Marvel has to offer. Some we've seen, some are alternate version, all of them the best. Kill each of them within 30 seconds.
I kind of love that.
I really
liked that scene because I'm like, yeah, this is a multiverse. Like, they're all dead, but we could see every single one of them again because multiverse.
Yeah. I think that leads right into you know, Tom, how I feel about everything being made of rubber.
Not made of rubber. It's just leaving a question of like, okay, those were stakes in this universe. It's possible that there's another Reed Richards out there. Might not be the same looking Reed Richards. Might be played by somebody different.
And also, people dying in Marvel stuff. I mean, come on. Won't they find? I don't know how they died. I've not watched this film, but I have to imagine there will be some Earth 222B where they can come back looking pretty much the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
616. But yeah. Okay. Whatever.
Oh my god.
I don't want to argue and fight. I just want to. By the way, what up with that scene where Professor X says, "Perhaps I can read your mind." Wah 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 wah. Professor X stuff. And I'm amazed to be in this white space. Oh, Wanda Maximoff, are you in a hole? Oh, I'm just now thinking of this, but perhaps if I pull you out of this hole, you'll be better.
You said you didn't want to fight.
Okay, sorry. You're right. I did think
there's nothing wrong with that scene. That scene is what Professor X does. He goes to Johnny Ives' room and he reads people's thoughts and he tries to help them.
Yes, but if he went there on purpose, presumably he wouldn't say, "Who knows what would happen if I pull you out of this hole that you're in."
That's not exactly what, I don't remember what he said exactly, but, you know, yeah, I thought that was perfectly fine.
Okay.
Like in another movie that you're not picking on that. You're only picking on that because you didn't like the rest of the movie. That's what I think.
Yeah. We'll put a pin in that, but, sure. Bold choices. Here's a new segment, bold choices. The last third of the movie, Doctor Strange is a necromancer animating the corpse of a dead Doctor Strange. It's a horror movie. It's 30 minutes of a horror
everything
movie.
Everything Everywhere All at Once crossover. You can think into other people. Anyway.
Even a rock.
That was one I forgot.
Yeah.
Is it a good horror movie or is it not a good horror
movie? It's a Sam Raimi horror movie, which...
Yeah, it's a
cilantro. You like Sam Raimi, it's a great horror movie.
Exactly. I think that some of this is, you know, your taste for the Sam Raimi is gonna make a difference. But that said, also the script just felt flat. It didn't feel deep. It felt like we were like, got to do this point. Great. No need to get deep on it. Connect it to this point. Okay, great. Connect it to this point. And I never felt like like we were talking about before, we never experienced the idea that there really are multiple universes. And again, maybe that is the timing because we already saw Loki do it so well.
Right.
But I feel like they could have done more with that. They could have gone deeper with Scarlet Witch. they could have gone deeper with Strange and how he felt about all of this. But instead, we just kind of felt we skipped like stones on the water through this movie.
I mean, I think that's the best way to put it, which is not inherently a bad thing. And if what you want is a pastiche of images that are big and epic and bizarre, then I think it will deliver. If what you want is cameos from a bunch of interesting characters, I think you'll also be happy with it.
Which I think,
although not as many cameos as we would have wanted or expected, since no Loki, you know, and no real surprises. They kind of blew them all in that one scene.
Yes, and this is I don't think I'm being nitpicky outside of to say the plot thread, and tell me if I get this wrong, Tom, I'm sincerely trying to follow it, not trying to dunk. Lady has bad book, destroy bad book. We destroyed bad book. Aha, not the real bad book. That was a copy of the bad book. You got to go find the real bad book. They go find the real bad book. Bad book got away. Well, there's a good book. So then they go to get the good book, and the good book is like, oh, you finally got me. I disappear into dust. I'm useless and never referenced again. I was a good book that did absolutely nothing. You got to go find the bad book. So they go find the bad book and they say, if you read the bad book, you become bad. Oh, I won't become that bad, will I? Read the bad book, use bad book to defeat bad book. Movie over. Everything's fine. I have a working watch now. Ah, end scene. But now I have a third eye. Credits roll.
Oh, I got infected with the
bad book, with the thing they told me was going to happen, right? Okay, credits roll. Post credits. Literal tear in the fabric of reality. Out pops the same actor who is in
Charlize Theron.
Wasn't she Hel? Hela?
Yeah, she was.
No.
Yeah.
In
Ragnarok.
In Ragnarok.
Oh.
Yeah. Hi, it's me, the actor who played Hel in Ragnarok, but I'm playing someone totally different, and now I'm saying, hey.
Oh, look. That was Cate Blanchett.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay.
Different person, sorry.
Now I'm goddessed. But
not all blonde Australians are the same.
anyway, hey, there's...
See, you tried to dunk. You tried to dunk, Brian.
I'm not trying. I'm trying to accurately describe the movie. There's an emergency. Do you have what it takes to take on the multiverse? Yes, I do. Third eye opens, bang, and jumps in. That's the end.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why were you recounting that?
I don't know. Because that was a fairly unconventional way to create a narrative.
I mean, all
yeah, of, no, it, it, it was closer I to a to the theme park
scene,
ride.
Your point got muddled. You could leave out the end credit scene. Forget that because that's a mid credit scene.
Correct.
The whole thing with the book stuff, I'm totally with you. It was very convoluted. And on paper, and this is my problem, on paper, this movie makes perfect sense. On paper, that makes sense. Like, ooh, we have a good book that can defeat the dark book, but oh, the good book has been destroyed. Crap. Well, the temptation is to use the dark book to destroy the dark book, but that's risky. Like, that all makes sense. That's all good plot, right? It's just somewhere in the execution of it, it felt rickety. It didn't feel earned.
Finish up, Tom.
Oh, and even the third eye should on paper be like, so how evil is he? How much exposure did he get? Can we trust Strange in the future? But instead it just felt weird because it's like, ooh, that third eye.
Is that third eye, because it's introduced as, oh, when you read the evil bad book, there are some bring side effects. And it's like, well, luckily he didn't have the side effects. And then it's like, we need you to save the planet. Normal Doctor Strange that clearly has no side effects. Don't worry. Bring side effect that is actually an awesome, cool superpower I have is here for us.
But that's good. That should be good. That should be like, ooh, he can save the universe with that. But is that a good thing? Right? But instead, it just came off all janky. Like, you should have seen the third eye before that, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, so you knew immediately, like, ooh, okay, there's something going on. Yeah. I don't,
again, I grading on a
very
curve.
Very excited about Charlize Theron playing Clea, though.
Grading on a curve with the realities that were handed to them, I cannot imagine how much rewriting and how far into various animated crazy sequences. Yeah, like, sure. like people were like, I'm sorry, we spent $3 million on this sequence. Whether it makes sense or not, we're going to throw this in. I have to imagine there was some of that.
Honestly, I enjoyed the movie. It's somewhere in the middle of the pack for me. It's not my least favorite by any stretch, because it has great sequences. It has great moments in it. But it didn't hang together well enough to be in anywhere near.
I enjoyed this movie the way I enjoyed the Pandora ride at Disney.
Hmm.
It was a visual and experiential treat that involved a lot of, now we've got to get to the next things. And for the life of me, if I had to describe to you a cohesive plot, I can't.
I feel like we see these
like the Waterworld show at Universal Studios.
Well, that one, they're fighting about oil. I know that one.
There is a story.
But there is there's more story. There's literally more story in the Waterworld show at Universal.
There might be more story in Waterworld. You're right. Actually.
We see these, like, again, I still haven't seen the movie, but we tend to see a lot of these shapes of stories and these Marvel things of, like, we've got to save the world, and we're gonna, here's the one thing that will save the world. Oops, that doesn't work now. What's the next thing to say? Like, it's not like step one, step two, step three. It's just step one, no. Step one, A, no. Step one, B, no. Another step one. Like, it's a very, like, simple cause and effect that is only extended out because we need to have stuff not work three times and then we can do a big fight.
You're just describing storytelling.
Well, hey, but I think that it's very, I think that is a very unpolished way to write a story. And I feel like we see a lot of those with the big Marvel sign on them.
Hey, Bryce.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked a lot about all the things that Doctor Strange did in this movie about Doctor Strange. Of course, the whole reason is that the Scarlet Witch wants to go steal some children.
Yeah, she's got, because in the comics, she's got a weird way of her kids coming to life. And so I guess they got to.
Do you want to know how ultimately they stop her?
Is it an abortion?
Nope. They just let. Or she wins and gets some kids, and the kids are like, you're not our real mom. And then she's sad, and then the movie's over. Quite literally, everything Doctor Strange did not matter, except for America. It mattered to other people.
He destroyed the Darkhold, too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that is...
And the good hold.
destroyed all the holds.
I mean,
no holds barred.
My understanding is that is how her kids progenate in the books.
I like that for the Scarlet Witch story because she is good, and it's her inner goodness that finally defeats her. And I don't think that invalidates the fight. You've got to fight her, and Doctor Strange has to fight her. And I disagree that has to invalidate everything, and you have to look at it as simply as like, oh, and therefore everything you did didn't matter. No, it mattered because you had to oppose her, and you had to give some conflict to her for her to reach that moment and understand that, you know what, it couldn't work. In fact, if she hadn't gone through the fight, she might not have been as weary when she got there. The problem is I'm adding in a lot of storytelling that they didn't do to make that earned.
Yeah. That's a really good way to put, like, nothing you said is wrong. It also shouldn't be your job.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Those are not things that should be subtext in a popcorn movie like this.
And again, on paper, it's all there. Yeah. They just didn't give us all of it. That's why I didn't love this movie.
However, I will say I loved the experience of watching it.
You just brought up America Chavez, which is a shame that we didn't talk about her more because her character's great and she barely gets used.
Yes, I suspect that in the original script, because from what Justin was telling me, it's America Chavez that causes the rifts in the Spider-Man stuff. And they didn't do that. Instead, they had Doctor Strange do it, which is problematic, where it's like, so you're the guy who screwed up the universe, and I ain't gonna fix the universe? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strange.
But again, strange.
I don't know why they just didn't use America Chavez in Spider-Man and just be like, who's that? I would have been intrigued.
License.
I would have been wanting
it's gotta lawyers. Be the lawyers. Yeah, because America Chavez is then
I
getting
heard
ready for Young
the
Avengers.
The reason that they had her in Spider-Man and took her out because of the order of the movies, that they didn't want to introduce her in Spider-Man.
That is correct. Is that right. Originally Multiverse was supposed to be first. And then they said, we have to delay for COVID. And Sony said, cool story, bro. We're going to release on time. And they're like, well, how will you deal with it? You're like, da, da, da. Don't you worry your pretty little head, Marvel.
Yeah.
Okay.
But again.
Either for whoever made the decisions, those were not wise decisions.
Well, yes, they were not prescient decisions.
I mean, they could have made decisions to not have Spider-Man be in the MCU anymore. I'm saying we're playing in a universe where they are cooperating on things.
Right.
They could have cooperated. It wasn't just lawyers are all being like, no, we won't cooperate. It's not that simple.
You're right. Because they could have done a one-time carve-out.
They thought was better for their businesses, and it wasn't.
That's correct. At some point, somebody suggested, well, why don't you just loan us for one movie only this character? And they were like, not one character more, Sony.
But my point is they were going to loan her. It was somebody saying, we don't think it's smart for her to show up earlier. Because they were going to loan her.
We're going to do exactly that.
When the release order was reversed.
Yes. Okay.
So it wasn't that they wouldn't loan her. It's that once somebody thought, but we shouldn't show her off yet. And I don't know who that was.
And because it's Sony, Sony doesn't care about the Young Avengers. They don't have a stake in having any of them come up in the Marvel stuff
maybe,
in 4 years.
Actually, they do. They want the better the Marvel Cinematic Universe does, the better Spider-Man does. So I don't know that it's as simple as Sony being obstinate.
Yeah. All I know is it sounds like the Loki arm and the WandaVision arm and the Spider-Man arm weren't talking to the Multiverse of Madness arm.
Well, I thought that was supposed to be Kevin Feige. Couldn't, right? They just couldn't. They should have just put Doctor Strange out. Straight to video.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, at the same time, I would have been blown away. Well, but then again,
I mean,
look
they put
at,
Black
look
Widow out.
If you'd gone straight from WandaVision into Doctor Strange without ever seeing Loki or Spider-Man yet.
Artistically, 100%. But one of our lead stories was about the staggering amount of money they made.
That's one where I'm like, yeah, no, they made this decision for their business. I totally get
that.
Well, especially after Black Widow and all of that and the lawsuit and all that other stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I'm sure they didn't want to mess with that.
Well, that's it for this episode.
By the way, Tom,
after spoil,
I derive no joy from putting you on defense. And I felt like I made you play more defense than you should need to, but
that's all right. It's my job.
Having said all of that, I enjoyed the experience. Sam Raimi, if you're a fan of Sam Raimi, you're going to love this right down to the Bruce Campbell appearance and the second Bruce Campbell appearance.
All the Campbells, the multi Campbells. Nice. They were good. I liked it.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you for being a supporter. We'll be back next week.
Bye.